You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Jay here for Stretford Paddock. This is the Paddock Podcast. So when we've got the Paddock Podcast, you want two absolute titans, two giants, two colossuses from the United fan base. And thankfully, that is exactly what we've got, Monolith. Yes, I've got Mr. Joe Smith. How are we doing?
Very well. How are you doing?
I'm good. How's the Sloppy Joe's going?
Nicely. Thank you very much.
All right.
How's
I'm
your
not here to plug that.
How's
talk
your
about
podcast
United.
Doing?
It's all right, but I'm here to talk about Manchester United.
Okay,
Stretford sure. Paddock. The best podcast out there. We've also got Andy Tate. How are you doing?
I'm all right, mate. I've got a phone call from my good friend across there.
He's whoa. When did you get a phone call?
About 1 o'clock.
No, you didn't. You got a phone call 3 weeks ago because we planned in advance. We don't just ring you 2 hours before we go live and going, Andy, can you come here? Because Steve Howson's not told us he's in London today.
Loads
we don't do that.
Loads to talk about today, though, isn't there? Weghorst updates. Kane. Osimhen. Gareth Bale's retired. All sorts going on, Jay. The Felix is about to go to Chelsea.
Is anyone not going to Chelsea? Like, Todd Burley, he's having one, isn't he?
Yeah, he's playing FIFA, isn't he?
Yeah.
Football manager.
So get involved in the chat and the comments. People already are. And let us know what you think about all these things. Because, do you know what? I'm sick of getting excited about someone and pretending I really like him and want him. And then find out they're going somewhere else.
Sorry, pretending you really like him.
Yeah. Like João Felix. Yeah, all right. We're going to get him. Yeah, all right. I can get on board with that. He doesn't score loads of goals, and I'm a simple man, as you all know.
Yeah.
And I like strikers or attackers that score goals. He doesn't. But I'll get round to that thinking, he's a different type of attacker. You know, he's one of those that brings in players around him, and, you know, he's good to watch and all that nonsense. And then after all that, he's not coming here anyway. He's got Chelsea.
Sickening.
It is sickening.
This is a man who is being paid £20 million for 6 months' work.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, I know it's not all going to him, but this transfer is costing £20 million, assuming that they've paid what United refused to. That's beyond the realms
they
of
mind
to me.
They are pretty desperate, aren't they, Chelsea, at the minute, because they're awful.
Yeah.
Like, this is as bad as I can remember Chelsea being since probably Jose Mourinho's title defence.
AVB.
Yeah, AVB era. It's that bad, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's that sort of stuff. And you're looking at, you know, they've just been battered off City again. They're in that horrible run. I think they've had two wins in the last nine games, whatever it is, which for Chelsea is ridiculously bad. It looks like Graham Potter, who was a very good manager, I'm not just going to say he's not a good manager, has gone there, and it's just not working out at all. And now you've got this chief exec or this chairman or whatever he is, Todd Burley, just buying every player he can get his hands on. And it just doesn't seem like there's any structure there, and it just feels like it's just a bit of a mess.
No. You've got to give it time. You've got to back him. And you've just got a guy upstairs who's actually going shotgun, buying the best in the world, and you no manager structure, nothing, no type of play. Players are like looking at each other. Even the Chelsea fans yesterday wanted Thomas Tuchel back.
Was this right? Was this a Thomas Tuchel chance going around?
Was that
City fans taking a mick, or was that...
I think it was
Chelsea fans, actually.
I mean, it could have been the media trying to spin it, but Thomas Tuchel chants were ringing around the ground yesterday. Don't know if it was...
What did you make of it, Andy, when he got sacked, Thomas Tuchel? Because as an always a United fan, you've always been one of those who back the manager, get behind him, sort of, unless the wheels come off completely. you get behind him. Were you surprised that Thomas Tuchel, 18 months earlier, had won the Champions League when he went? Not even 18 months, about
very stupid,
16 months, wasn't it?
Very stupid decision to sack him, because you just won the Champions League 18 months earlier. You missed out on two cup finals, only on pens, and you finished in the top four. Jesus. And you won they won the Super Cup as well.
I forgot all that.
They won the Super Cup as well. So why would you want to do it with new owners? Obviously, the circumstances with new owners coming in and the sale of Chelsea due to the ongoing conflicts in the Ukraine contributed to it. Yeah. And Chelsea were under all sorts of embargoes until the sale was pushed through and completed. So it's just like new owners, hot-headed. It's like the owners like treating it like an American franchise, isn't it? It's just like, oh, I'll buy this, that, and the other, this, that, and the other. We're going to win the Super Bowl. No, you're fucking not, mate.
Jay, I absolutely love it. Yeah. I love it.
I love
sack
this.
Him, get everyone out, buy whoever you want. Don't even consult the manager. Yeah. The owner has just gone ballistic, hasn't
it? Yeah.
Felix, I've heard of him. Wow, he cost 120 million. We can get him for 20. Take it.
I mean, maybe more or less.
I'll get Fernandez. I'll get this. I'll get the other. Just because he's just gone rogue. Any playbook for how to run a football club is typically scouts and managers talk to each other about who they want, and then it's presented to the sort of the money people. They give a sort of yes or no as well. I mean, a lot of people can give a thumbs up or thumbs down along the way, but really it's the scouts and the manager who should be coming up with the team, the players that the team are. That clearly isn't happening.
Yeah, not even Abramovich did that.
No, well, not to this degree. It's obvious that it's just Burley, because he's the one who goes and flies and does the talking as well. You see him in an airport in Italy and he's just going to be chatting to Osimhen, or he's chatting to this guy. He'll be somewhere in a room, either on a Zoom call or in real life, with João Felix now.
Yeah.
I love it, because that means they're going to be shit, because this doesn't work. And if it does, it's pure luck. We've seen how United have operated in the last 10 years. And to me, it has a lot of a similar ring to it. Not that the Glazers went ballistic with money, but that the wrong people were doing the signings. Where Woodward liked Di Maria, or liked Falcao.
Bankers, innit?
Yeah. It's people who watch football from a sort of outside perspective going, João Felix is good, isn't he? He's a big name. Let's get him. Like, weren't Fernandes good at the World Cup? Let's get him. He's the new big thing. He went to Benfica 18 months ago, and now he's worth 20 times what they paid for him. Let's get him. Like, it's just shit. So if it works, fair play. But for me, the odds of this method and this setup working is slim to nil, and that is a fantastic thing as a United fan.
There's a question here, Matthew Sargent, asking about the 12 Days of Paddock Christmas giveaway. We are going to do that on Wednesday.
It'll be announced on Wednesday.
We're going to go through all the winners, including the winner of the £500 grand prize. We haven't forgot about it, left it. We're going to do it on a live. We're going to go through it all, go through every single winner, because there's 12 different prizes, and the big prize is a £500 big prize. So don't think, oh, you know, we just forgot about it. We're not going to do
it.
It's coming on Wednesday. It's going to be me and Joe, and we're going to announce it on Wednesday evening. So make sure you are staying tuned, and thanks everyone for your support. Also, if you are watching, hit that like button. Give us a like. Just quickly, Clayton M in the super chat says, do or does rival managers sticking up for their counterparts annoy you as much as it does me? I don't see the grace in speaking on another team. Erik ten Hag does it better. It always feels a bit like patronising, doesn't it, when rival managers go, you know what, they're really good, aren't they? Oh, leave him alone. You know, there is a little bit of a managers' union, so I do get it.
Should we talk Weghorst?
Yeah, let's talk Weghorst. You've got a bit of an update there. Go on, give us that Besiktas statement that's doing the rounds.
Obviously, Weghorst is under contract at Burnley. He's their player permanently. He then signed a one-year loan to Besiktas. There was then rumours that there was a clause in there where someone could pay £2 or £3 million that would then basically scrap the loan, and then he would go back to Burnley for them Burnley to do what they want with him, sell him, whatever. Yeah. And then Besiktas basically this afternoon have come out and said they claim that there is an exit clause in our footballer's contract, stating that his contract can be terminated with a compensation of €2.5 million in case of an offer from the Premier League is fictitious. However, the news that the player in question will have to leave the team on Tuesday is completely untrue. We'll come back to it. The initiative regarding Weghorst belongs entirely to Besiktas. If there's a development on this issue, the information will be shared. My favourite thing is the phrasing on that. Is this whole thing about €2 million is fictitious. However, like the next thing is going to be, however, this is true. And then they go, however, the news that the player will be leaving is also untrue. Like, I love an inappropriate however there. Like it makes you think it's going one way, and then it goes, actually, no, that's untrue as well. So basically,
I'm leaving you. However, I'm taking the children.
Yeah. However, the house is mine. You're like, no, however should mean the other thing.
I was keep the car, you keep the house.
I was expecting something positive there. You're right. It's just like you see with a right and then a left. That,
isn't it? So basically, if we want Weghorst, we've got to sort out some sort of payment to Besiktas so that they agree to let this loan deal end. Then we've got to sort out some sort of payment to Burnley for a loan fee. Then we've got to sort out if we want a 10 million option to buy, which Besiktas currently have on the player. So the power, it's like, do you know when if someone's buying a house and there's like a chain? So that person has to sell their house before you can buy that one. Who
Not
has to
that
sell
that
their house before
house,
you can
buy that one?
Well, no. But this is like, for us to get Weghorst, Besiktas have to let him go. Then Burnley have to let him go. Then he has to agree to come. Why do United always find themselves in a situation where everything is stacked against a transfer?
Because he's Richard Bloody Arnold, isn't it?
But it's just a weird situation.
Matthew Sargent in the super chat has been a member of the academy for 25 months. Thank you for your support, Matthew. Says Weghorst, tall and Haaland scored more in the World Cup too. Not saying he's better, but I'm not saying it. I like that. Abdul Ibrahim says summer 2021, the scouts identified Caicedo, but we didn't sign because he isn't a big name. Now Liverpool are looking at him. TGF, we signed Casemiro. The whole Weghorst thing, what do you make of it? When you heard that, what did you think? We're linked with him and it looks like it could happen.
Mate, when I heard the name, I thought it was something you get on the Christmas market. It's like a nice big hot dog.
Bit of Weghorst.
Yeah, a bit of Weghorst. Right. But I have seen the player. I've seen him at the World Cup. He scored two against Argentina.
Yeah, he came on. It was a quarterfinal.
And his goal to get the equaliser was sublime.
Such a good goal, that was.
Such a good goal.
The play short.
And he ran Argentina ragged, so that I've seen the picture, I've seen the video of him waving goodbye to the fans after scoring at the weekend, but obviously now this is coming up. But
respect to that, by the way, waving the fans goodbye when no deal is agreed whatsoever.
Well, like, I think he sort of said that he's
keen on
it or something.
He's keen on it, but I think the player, like I say, he didn't do much at Burnley, did he?
No.
I'm Alex Rodriguez,
and I'm Jason Kelly
from Bloomberg. This is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
But also, who the fuck has ever done much at Burnley? No offence, but they don't attack. So
weird.
How could he have scored goals?
Is producer Ethan, is he about? How's Chris Wood getting on at your lot?
Terrible.
Terrible, right. That's right, well, there you go. There's
Mr. Chris. Sitter. That's not his name. It's Mr. Wood.
Mr. Sitter. Because they bought Chris Wood, didn't they, from Burnley? Apparently he's not doing too well. So
yeah, but that
example.
Doesn't matter, does it?
No.
Just because you were bad at Burnley.
Look at Dwight McNeil, what he's doing at Everton. Single-handedly keeping him in the Champions League places.
Keeping the bench warm.
Ethan O'Connor, welcome to the academy. Thanks for your support. Joseph, you're a man of the world.
Yes.
What did you make of it when you heard Wout Weghorst was top of our wish list?
Makes sense. Because it doesn't make sense, which is where we are in terms of looking for a striker. We are...
I like the abstractness of this.
That's
illogical.
No, that's my way of saying expect the unexpected.
Okay.
When it comes to United's striker approach, we are out of options. Yeah. There is no big name strikers available in January. Yeah. We know this. All the other ones that we've tried to go for are either too old, don't actually play football anymore, or we're just a figment of Richard Arnold's imagination.
We're buying players that don't exist.
Yeah, I'm sure there was calls like Sol Raido or something like that. They're just buying former Spanish players that don't actually exist.
Yeah.
But Weghorst, if you look at his numbers, he's used to scoring 20 goals a season in the Bundesliga.
Yeah.
There aren't that many of them knocking about. I know he was shit for Burnley, but we are desperate. Do you know what I mean?
I know what you're getting at.
There aren't many goal scorers in Europe that are under the age of 35 that have scored any career goals. How many career goals have he got? 171.
171 in 407 appearances.
Okay,
as well.
So he's just under a goal every other game, and he's played at AZ Alkmaar and Wolfsburg for the large majority of his career. Two leagues which don't have the best track record of coming to the Premier League, but also aren't shocking. You know, the Bundesliga and the Dutch First Division, not the worst thing in the world to have scored 20 goals, 25 goals in. Like, he's a decent player. He's not going to be much money. We're still going to get the big one in January, in the summer, if they're available. And we'll move on to that in a minute, because Mark Ogden's been coming out and basically saying United fancy Kane and Osimhen. But this, who else do we think we're going to get in January on short notice for free or for cheap? Like, there aren't many about.
I mean, if you look at Ten Hag, he has done that sort of player. He'd bring someone to Ajax and stuff.
Yeah, Sebastian Haller from West Ham, who was awful. And then he was the really top scorer in the Champions League.
So this is what I mean.
He's got an eye for something. He knows something.
Can, as I say, though, some of us called this, didn't we? Hey, I've got a tweet here. August. Look at the date. 14th of August, Joe. Yeah? Nailed it. Jay Motti.
The only reason I accept this honestly hideous display of self-promotion is I love Moneyball and I love the reference. And I also love that you were right. Because Weghorst, he probably can't score the 18 Premier League goals that Ronaldo scored last season, but he can definitely do the job Ronaldo was doing this season.
Listen, like a broken clock is right twice a day. Yeah. I'm like a broken calendar. I'm right twice a year.
Yeah, you're
so when I am right about summer, I milk it.
Yeah, you're a broken clock that's right twice a day if there were 300 hours a day. You're right a fraction of the time. But on this occasion, you've got it right, and I've got to give you some credit for that. But I honestly think, again, I pose this question: name someone who is better than him who is available for
short term
for less than 10 million quid.
I'm not going to lie to you. I'm fully on board the Ten Hag bus.
Same.
If Ten Hag wants him, I ain't questioning it. Well, no. I might go, well, that's a surprise, or whatever. But I'm with it.
Yeah.
Because I think this manager is truly gifted. And I think he knows what he's doing.
I do.
Do you know what I mean?
I agree.
If Eric Ten Hag decides he's going to play Luke Shaw at centre-back, I'm with it and it works.
Yeah.
If Eric Ten Hag decides Aaron Wan-Bissaka actually has got a future and can play as well, I'm with it and it works.
Harry Maguire coming on as a striker for the last 10 minutes of a game. We've seen it. It worked.
It's difficult to just not believe in what this manager wants to do. And if he believes Weghorst, the player that he obviously knows from sort of... I don't say from managing, obviously not managing, but he'll have watched him.
Yeah, he's a Dutch player.
Played against him. Like you say, his team's played against him, and he's got first-hand experience.
And also, just as a final thing, and I've said this before, but if we just think about the dire straits we are in personnel-wise, at the start of last season, we had Ronaldo, Martial, Cavani, and Greenwood as accepted number nine strikers. For whatever reason, they've gone, they're unavailable. We now have one of those four players left at the club. Or available to play.
Yeah.
We are desperate for anything. If Martial gets injured, or heaven forbid Rashford gets injured, or both, we're fucked.
No.
We literally don't have anyone to play up front if Martial and Rashford are unavailable. We need someone. Weghorst has scored 171 goals in his career. He's not a bad striker. No offence to Ighalo, but he has got a far greater pedigree than Ighalo ever had.
Well, Ighalo... And I like Ighalo for his social media stuff and the way he embraced the club. And, he did have some good moments, the goal against Lask, his contribution to McTominay's goal in the derby. But you look at his record, he'd been in the Premier, not been in the Premier League for like 2.5 seasons. And he'd gone 18 games without a goal in the Premier League 3 years ago, 2.5 seasons ago. Sorry. Yeah. So it didn't look great. Weghorst, all right, he didn't set the world alight at Burnley, but he at least was effective to a certain degree. And he's been effective more recently. At a higher level than Ighalo. Ighalo was it China or India? Sorry,
China.
I should know. There's not, I know they're completely different countries, but he was at a level which wasn't great before he came back into the Premier League. At least Weghorst is coming from a place where the Turkish League isn't a million miles away in terms of levels.
Yeah, playing the Champions League every year.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Jacob Morris says, Joe said it, he scored everywhere but Burnley, and Burnley were awful. He was great in the World Cup as well.
Yeah.
Do hit that like button. We've got almost 2,000 people watching, only 137 likes. Ross Murphy says, I miss Ighalo. Max Diath says, Chelsea have just got Felix FFS. Yeah, we were speaking about that. You mentioned something earlier, Joseph.
What?
About Mark Ogden.
Sorry, I don't know what happened. Wow. Sorry, James.
Stumbled into the Working Men's Club in Partington. you mentioned about Mark Ogden, who's been on this channel several times, I think, saying that United are looking at long-term options for strikers, including Harry Kane and Victor Osimhen.
Yeah.
Two players that we've spoken about quite a lot on this channel. What do you make of those suggestions? Do you think those could be the answers long-term or longer-term?
I mean, I said this the other day. I think if age wasn't an issue, let's say, I know it is, and you have to factor that in. But I think in terms of play style, I think Harry Kane might be... I'm trying to think of the... I think he might be the perfect striker for Ten Hag. I think he holds the ball up brilliantly. He brings other people into play brilliantly. He's become an excellent passer and build-up play attacker in recent seasons. He's not just capable of scoring, but he's one of the most prolific goal scorers in the last decade. His injury record and his age are slightly concerning because he'll be 30 starting next season, which is when we'd sign him. But he's someone that has consistently scored for nearly a decade now. Or 7 or 8 years, he's been one of the top goal scorers in the Premier League. He is a phenomenal player that could bring other players in, can play people in behind, can play counter-attacking style, can play front foot style like they did under Pochettino. I honestly think if we could get him, that could be the difference between United challenging for the League Cup and United challenging for the Champions League. I really do think he would be that good. People underestimate him because he looks a bit weird and he's never won any trophies with Tottenham, and talk about that small club mentality or Tottenham mentality, whatever it is. He's a phenomenal player. And if you don't think he is, you're just not watching football, and he would be sensational for Man United. Honestly, I really think he'd be about as good as we could get.
Andy, what do you reckon? Because Harry Kane, I mean, this has almost gone unnoticed in some degrees. 18 Premier League appearances this season, 15 goals. I mean, he's almost scored as many goals this season as he did the entirety of last season. And he's only played 18 games. He scored 17 Premier League goals last season, which isn't a bad return. Would you be for this if it can happen? It's a big if. But if we went for him in the summer and we got him, would you be up for that one? Is that someone you think, yeah, could still do a job for Manchester United? Or do you think we need to be looking at someone a bit younger?
No, I consider him really well. Yeah. That's an incredible return for this season.
Yeah, he's on
18
fire.
18 games. I mean, maybe he needs a new challenge and all this, that, or the other. Like you say, he missed that pen at the World Cup as well. It's not affected him in the slightest.
No, that's and he's a just good moved point, because it could get
he
in
He took it
that,
on the chin it? And got yeah, on with it, you know what I mean?
He has took that on.
So, I would take him because, I mean, what City was supposed to go for him the other year, wasn't it? Yeah. And it ended up with Grealish instead. And, in the right squad, he could take you to a title, to a Champions League.
I mean, there's every chance that Harry Kane here, who, like, you know, Joe, you're pointing out about his age, he's 29, he turns 30 in July. There's every chance he could have another 2-3 seasons at the top level.
He could even have 4 or 5. Yeah.
Like, there's no reason why a striker in this day and age can't play till 32, 33, maybe even 34. It's then after then you start, okay, that's probably not going to happen.
Yeah.
But if he stays fit, I know that I'm having a lot of sort of ifs and buts. I get it. Yeah. I get this. My only thing with this is I have reservations as to whether it can happen.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I don't think it's a case of should it happen. I think if we could get Harry Kane, if Harry Kane signed for United, I'd be buzzing. I'm not going to pretend I wouldn't.
Yeah.
I just don't know if it will happen. I always feel with Harry Kane, it needed to happen when he was a lot younger for him to come to United. Mm. I feel like we've probably missed this one happening, and I feel like he may end up sort of seeing his career out at Spurs or
top level. I don't see that, because I see new owners coming in and Tottenham don't make the top four next season. He's going to look at options. I mean, if Bayern Munich might be interested in him as well. And if we've got new owners coming in, and the new owner or the new owners want give the fans a couple of big signings.
That's a good point. The new owners, because, you know, you might, like, as a new owner, you want to come in and make a statement. Yeah. A marquee signing, the England captain, England record goal scorer, is a pretty much a marquee signing.
290 goals.
I mean, his goal scoring record's ridiculous. I mean,
other than fucking Brian Clough, what English player has ever scored more than him? And that was most of that was in the second division.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't keep thinking he's been in a Champions League final, lost. He's been in a League Cup final, lost.
Yeah.
He's gonna be like, I've got to win something. Look at Alan Shearer. He only won a Premier League title.
Yeah.
And he lost two cup finals.
That contract that Kane signed 3 years ago, whatever it was, 2 years ago, is the worst decision he's ever made by a mile. One of the worst, like. He was the best striker in the world or thereabouts. Which year was it? 2016, when he scored the most goals in the world in the year. Like,
yeah, because they were chasing Leicester. They were chasing
Leicester
for the league.
That fucking 5-year extension to take him up to being 30? Because I think the reason I think it's possible is because he's only got one season left in his contract after this year. So if Tottenham don't want to lose him for free, and he want to get probably still get around 100 million, you'd have thought, even for 1 year or thereabouts, I think Levy would see that as a chance to cash in finally. But just on what Ogden said there, he said, talking about Kane, he said he'll enter the final 12 months of his Tottenham contract this summer. This is in ESPN. The 29-year-old striker almost left Spurs in 2021 before City abandoned their attempts to sign him. But with the prospect of Kane leaving as a free agent in 2024, both the player and club face a decisive summer, and sources said that United are aware that they may be the most attractive option for Kane should he choose to seek a move at the end of the season. So there's feeling amongst United, apparently, that we might be the best place, because he's not going to City now, because why would he? And also they've got Haaland. I don't think, why would he go to Chelsea? They look like an absolute mess. Liverpool have just signed Darwin Nunez for 100 million quid, so they'd be mad to buy another 100 million quid striker. Newcastle is, you could maybe see it.
Yeah, definitely.
Because they've got the money. But again, you're joining a club that hasn't won a trophy in 60 years or whatever it is.
Why would you want to join them? Break havoc of a lifetime?
So to me, it's either Arsenal, which is not going to happen, not just because they've signed a striker for 50 million quid, but it's fucking Arsenal.
Yeah.
Or Man United. Or you go to Real Madrid or something and replace Benzema for a few years. But it makes sense to me that United is by far the strongest option in the Premier League. We're desperate for a striker. I think he would fit the system perfectly. And he can't go anywhere else. He either stays with Tottenham, goes abroad, or comes to United, I would say. Can you see another option for him?
No. I mean, I think you make a good case. I mean, you know, if he was, the only sort of thing is maybe there was suggestions in like Munich or somewhere like that.
Yeah.
Where you go, I just want a trophy and I'm guaranteed one there. I really, if he goes to Bayern Munich, he's getting a trophy.
Yeah.
He is, because he just
can't help
him in that team gets the Bundesliga. He just does. So you might look at that, because it is still a gamble coming to Manchester United. You're not guaranteed silverware at a club that hasn't won anything since 2017, but you are likely to get something. You have under Ten Hag with the players we've got, and you're saying, Andy, new owners probably bringing in Kane and someone else. You know, you have to back yourself there and think, I've got a good chance of challenging for the top honours here. I just don't know. I just don't know if it happens. I think for me, if it does, I'd be happy. Mm. I think Harry Kane coming into this side, yeah, someone mentioned in the super chat there, sorry, in the chat, you know, it's almost like a touch of the Van Persie's, where you're getting a player who's coming towards the end of his career, who's still got something to offer, who is prolific in the Premier League, and who can, you know, hopefully spearhead a title challenge.
We've got a good balance of younger and older players, but some of the crucial players in this team are the wrong side of 30, and Varane's getting close to that, and probably legs-wise he is about 30 with the injuries he's had. Casemiro's 30, Harry Kane will be 30 in the summer, so there is some imperative to win some trophies in the next two or three years anyway. This isn't like a seven-year project. It's not like everyone's 21. This is not this season, probably. Maybe not next season, but the one after that, maximum, we have to be challenging for the title. Yeah. So I don't think it's a case of, you know, the team's not ready. I think
for me, now, if we're not challenging for the title next season, I'll be massively disappointed.
Yeah.
I will, because I think you're right. You look at the players we've got, Casemiro, you know, we've already got Varane. Martinez, the way he's come into this team. We spent a lot of money on Antony. He's obviously a quality player. Rashford, he was on fire.
Yep.
He just is. And I think Marcus Rashford's got even another level to go to. And you think, actually, this is a team that is progressing and has players at a level where, if we had added more players in the summer, which you expect us to, why would we not be? What is the next step? Is it not then challenging for the title?
Sure. Yes, I think it must be. The one thing I would say is, if it was still Woodward as chief exec of Man United, we would definitely get Harry Kane this summer. Because the only thing that I think would stand in the way is if Ten Hag thinks he's not the right type of player.
Mm.
I think we could probably get him. I think he would probably be willing to join United.
Last chance at
something big. Play for a proper big club rather than just, you know.
No disrespect to Spurs, but Spurs aren't in the top 10 clubs in the world, or top five. Manchester United are one of the biggest clubs in the world.
And if their manager decides to walk at the end of the season, then it's...
Yeah, exactly.
I think the only thing that stands in the way is
if Ten Hag goes, I don't want him. And if he says that, then fair enough.
Creflo Boller in the Super Chat says, do you guys think Kane has the character and personality profile that Eric Ten Hag is looking for? He doesn't seem to have that warrior mentality to me. I think he does. I think there was a time where he boycotted training or something.
Yeah.
Other than that, I don't think there's been too many issues around.
The only thing you ever hear about him is how he wants to speak to the manager, he wants to improve, he wants to be the best player he can. I know that he I don't think he's necessarily a captain in the traditional sense.
Think he's got a warrior mentality.
Yeah, I do.
I mean, that pen miss at the World Cup, that would fire him up for anybody.
Santa Notch is sort of disagreeing slightly. He says, don't see Kane being what Erik ten Hag wants, to be honest. There is that question. I mean, I don't know.
No.
The other one we've been linked with is Victor Osimhen. Again, I mean, having a good season, 11 goals in 16 matches for Napoli this season, obviously hasn't had the career of Kane, but he's a lot younger. There are question marks about his injuries. He's a crowd-pleasing player, and he gets stuck in, throws himself into things, and he, you know, scores some good goals and stuff. Is he the answer, do you feel? Could that be more likely because he's 24 years old, or just if we can't get Kane, or if Kane doesn't want to come, or if Sanal doesn't want Kane? Is Osimhen the answer? We've got to go for someone up front.
That's the thing.
Both players have got injury history.
Yeah, that's
true. So you got to look at them. I mean, would Napoli be willing to sell?
They want more than... The rumours are like... way over 100 million that they're
talking. Didn't they spend like 70 million on him?
Yeah, I think it was 60 rising up to 80.
Yeah,
I mean, if they win Serie A, they want to crack at the Champions League.
I mean? Well, I think...
They've not won it since Diego Maradona.
The striker that spearheaded Inter Milan's Serie A win was Lukaku. He then cost 100 million quid.
And was absolutely woeful.
But the one thing he had in his favour was much bigger track record, had scored goals everywhere he'd been. If Osimhen spearheads Napoli's title challenge or title...
Yeah,
you probably he's younger than Lukaku was when it was Chelsea. You're probably looking at a similar or more fee or bigger fee, should I say? So
nothing's guaranteed, mate.
No,
I mean I'm you're more guaranteed a chance with Harry Kane in the United squad. Definitely.
Daniel Kirk has been a member of the academy for 14 months. Says Jay, where's the Marcus tattoo? It's in the post. I'm just waiting for it to arrive. yeah, it seems to have divided opinion a little bit. Brian Casey says Tammy Abraham. I think that ship sailed.
Yeah, me too.
I think that ship sailed probably at least a year ago.
I think he only made sense when you could get him for under 50 million quid.
There was a time when you probably thought, okay, I would have had him. I just don't see it happening.
And Roma would demand silly money.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
Silly money.
Abin Adverma says Danny Welbeck. If Danny Welbeck comes back to Manchester United, it doesn't get any better.
If only he was a bit younger.
Yeah, Steve, I seen that on Steve's podcast last week. Somebody mentioned it in the comments. Might be an option, Danny Welbeck. Bambi on ice.
Surely Kane is...
Get out.
Surely Kane is the best option. What do you reckon? What do you actually think? Can you think of anyone that's better that we could get?
I don't know if there's necessarily anyone better. The question is, and I don't know the answer to this, is, you know, will Ten Hag want him?
But who do you want? Forget Ten Hag for a minute.
If I had a magic wand,
yeah,
and it was like, right, who could you get? Other than obviously Kylian Mbappe, you'd be like the best player you could get. Kane makes a lot of sense to me because he's like proven goal scorer. I think he would fit into this system. Yeah. I thought you saw a bit more of it at the World Cup than perhaps you even see for Spurs. I know you see it for Spurs as well. He can drop deep and play players in. But you saw him almost happy to take a different role with England.
Mm-hmm.
And Marcus and other players sort of, you know, Bukayo Saka getting forward. And you think he could do that at United. He could lead the line and drop deep when he needs to. And that would be like the perfect foil for some of the players we've got. I think if you put, you know, if you had Harry Kane up front for Manchester United and you had a front three of, say, Antony, Kane and Marcus Rashford, and then also you've got Sancho and you've got Andy Martial and you've got Alejandro Garnacho, all of a sudden you've got, not just have you got a fantastic attacking front three, you've got options as well.
Yeah.
It does feel you like, okay, that is a title challenging attack.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I think we would then have one of the best attacks in the league, one of the best midfields in the league,
and one of the best
defence in the league.
Yeah.
At that point, and from what I've seen, one of the best managers in the league.
Yeah.
So at the minute, the thing that's letting us down is only Marcus Rashford is scoring. And some of that is like, for the other day, you got to give Bruno credit. He was the captain, and he's letting Marcus Rashford take that penalty, even though he's a better penalty taker than Rashford is statistically. He said, you take it, which I think is great. So I'm not knocking Bruno for not scoring a penalty that he gave away, but like at the minute, unfortunately, only Rashford is scoring. I think the only guaranteed goals that is even remotely up for sale in the summer is Kane.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this.
Adidas.
Yeah, I think there's massive...
Lick your lips at the prospects, innit? I know.
The players we've been linked with, you know, there was Sam, it was Jonathan David from Lille, I think.
Yeah.
Obviously, Victor Osimhen. I think someone's mentioned, is it Sesko, the other one?
Yeah, Benjamin Sesko,
Sesko. Like, there's question marks around all of them.
Yeah.
It's like some of them have been recently prolific, not that prolific. Some of them, there's question marks around the injury record.
Also, none of them have won anything. Yeah. People go have a go at Kane for not winning anything. Yeah. All of them have won nothing.
Yeah.
So I know the younger player, obviously, what Sesko's going to win is 19, but Osimhen's 24. David is... He didn't win the league, did he? Did he win the league?
Lille?
Yeah.
I'm not
sure.
Well, but
Borussia Dortmund kid, he was friends with Haaland. I'm at United, we were linked with him.
Yeah.
I'm just having a look now. Forgive me. He won. Jonathan David did win.
Okay, fair play to him. He has won a trophy.
But it's not like... There's basically question marks around all of them. It's like, there was a time when Ivan Toney, it's even now some people saying Ivan Toney, we don't even know what's going to happen with him, this betting thing.
No.
So there's a big question mark. And also, can he step up to the plate at Manchester United coming from Brentford? I don't know. Liam Pickering in Super Chat says, Eriksen and Kane carry Spurs. Would love that. Owen Thompson says, truth be told, some fans won't like it, but we are at the stage where we need money from the likes of Dubai to compete in the transfer market. Also, they'll get rid of Mertar and Arnold. There's one positive.
I don't think that's true. I don't think either of those things are true.
No.
We already compete in the transfer market. Yeah. Only Man City have spent more than us in the last decade.
We just spend money badly.
Yeah, the amount we spend isn't the issue. It's who is spending the money. That's always been the problem. The
negotiation.
And I think Mertar and Arnold haven't proven themselves to be shit yet.
They have.
How?
The way they chased all the way for De Jong. They went all the way to Barcelona. Well, that was
slightly silly, but we got Casemiro instead, which I don't think was a bad trade-off.
Yeah, and if you believe the bullshit they come out with, we scouted him for 4 months and we had talks for 4 months, which was more bullshit from the PR spin.
Maybe.
So I don't trust any of it.
No, I'm not saying I trust them. I'm saying I don't think there's a lot of evidence to say that they're shit. In the same way that Woodward was shit. Because he had 10 years of body of work where he consistently messed it up. I think with Arnold and Mertel, for me, the jury's still out.
I mean,
I wouldn't have a go at him yet.
You look at the top 10 transfers in England, and I think United have got about, I think this is slightly outdated list I've got here, I've got about four of them.
Yeah.
Top 10 most expensive transfers.
Yeah.
So you look at the likes of Sancho, Maguire, Pogba, Lukaku when he came to United as well. That's not great management.
No.
To have that many players who would cost you so much money.
Just sell a shit. Yeah, that's what it is.
And to not have won anything. And okay, Maguire and Sancho are still, Antony's in that mix as well now. And Antony is still at the club. But, you know, there's been a lot of mismanagement.
Yeah.
There's been, you know, just no coherent transfer policy whatsoever.
Ten Hag said it himself, didn't he?
Yeah.
He said, we've wasted a lot of money or spent a lot of money on mediocrity.
Yeah.
And... But we've spent a lot of money.
I love to hear that from a
manager.
Not
spending money has never been United's issue. It's spending it badly.
And just as a disclaimer, in case anyone's under any illusions, the Glazers are parasites and have taken far too much money out of this club. And saddling us all this debt, and I cannot wait to see the back of them. But the two aren't mutually exclusive. You can hate these owners and think they've bled this club dry, which they have done. And you can also say we've misspent money.
Yeah,
those two things aren't, you know, don't contradict each other.
No, and what you can't say is that we haven't spent a similar amount to the teams around us. We have.
Better comparison model is probably the Scousers, because they had these owners, which, like the American owners, wanted to make money, and the only difference between them and the Glazers was they went, right, here's a manager, here's someone who knows what they're doing as a chief exec, here's a scouting policy that fits the manager's philosophy, so we can get these players in, and we can scout them, some of them long-term, and it'll work, and it did. And they've not had unmitigated success, but they've won a lot more trophies over the last 4 years than we have. Yeah. And they've also been at 3 Champions League finals. And I hate Liverpool Football Club probably as much as
they actually cared.
But you can't
they actually
deny
cared
that they've
a bit.
Had a pretty much successful spell.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So that is, for me, the main sort of difference there is finding the right manager and backing him properly, or doing what we've done, changing managers every 2 seasons, throwing a load of money at players that the manager at times doesn't even want.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean? Like, did Jose want Fred? No. Do you know what I mean?
Did we need Schweinsteiger? Did we need Schneiderlin? You know
what I mean? Did Louis van Gaal want Di Maria and Falcao?
I'm not even sure Ollie wanted Van der Beek, to be honest.
No, I don't think he did.
That seems to just pop up and get signed out of nowhere.
Martian in the Super Chat says, Kane would be ideal. Reviving a sleeping giant will always be attractive. It gives you that legendary status in sport. Yeah. Look at Canada. Just on the sort of... Oh, sorry. Cheyenne Restaga says, Taremi from Porto is a great shout. Creflo Bolo is back in and says, Osimhen has that Tevez workhorse mentality, but not the quality Kane has. Yeah. So the question is, do you go for more quality or passion? Harry Kane...
Quality every day.
...is one of the... Certainly now, one of the best British players. An argument is that one of the best British players ever is Gareth Bale, who's just announced he's retiring from football.
Yeah.
Where do you rank him in terms of... There's this discussion going on, I think it's on Sky Sports, saying, is he the best British footballer of all time? Now, obviously, that I agree with that sentiment from Andy Tate there. The snorting through your nose is exactly my reaction. I mean, that's a discussion going on. Mm. What would you say to that, Josie?
I think he's the second best of the sort of 2000 onwards. I think only Rooney's been better than him since 2000. Obviously, not including like Scholes, who played past them, but who came through post 2000. I think he's probably the second best. He's definitely got the best CV, or equal best CV, because you could maybe trade off a few domestic leagues with Champions Leagues. You look at Rooney, Ferdinand, players like that who have won more titles than he has, but obviously far less Champions Leagues. But he was amazing, and he was a big game player as well, which is something that people always throw at people who aren't big game players. He would score in finals, he'd score in semi-finals, scoring fucking overhead kicks in finals of the Champions League. Like, he doesn't shy away. He was amazing. His goal scoring record whenever he played for Real Madrid was excellent, mostly better than 1 in 2, which for a winger is sensational. To me, he's second best to come through post 2000 to Wayne Rooney. But when you start talking best ever, obviously for me, Charlton's number one, just because of the personal and World team Cup. Accolades he's won.
Ballon d'Or, World Cup, Champions League,
First Division
titles, and also, you know, you can't dismiss what happened to him.
No.
To bounce back from Munich in the manner he did,
exactly,
and carry that team forward in the way he did, is ridiculous.
For so long as well.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. It's like, if you made that up as a film, someone would say that's nonsensical. You can't have that script.
So he's the greatest. You know,
I agree. For me, greatest British player in that conversation is always going to be Brian Robson. He's going to be in that conversation.
Yeah, and then also you open up to the likes of Dennis Law and
George Best, Northern Ireland,
people across the.
That's obviously George Best got in that conversation. So Giggs has won a lot. So Scholes. There's always going to be that conversation. But
he's
Gareth
good
Bale.
Though, Bale, isn't he?
Yeah,
I wish he'd come to United when Fergie wanted him. Do you know before he went to Real Madrid?
Yeah.
Oh no, yeah.
Well, we wanted him at Southampton, didn't he?
Apparently, but we wanted him.
We could have got him, but Fergie respectfully waited until the summer.
Yeah.
And then Spurs had already got in there. Caleb De Sela says he's been a member of the first team for 21 months. Says Bale isn't the greatest English player. Well, he's not because he's Welsh, but I get what you mean, bro. But is the most successful to go international or at least to other top Europe leagues, and he was influential.
Here's a question.
Go on.
Yes, in terms of what he was born, definitely. But you'll know this because of your age, but I'm going to say a fact now that I reckon a lot of people my age or younger, under 30, won't know this. Kevin Keegan won 2 Ballon d'Ors back-to-back. Or it was either back-to-back or 1 year, then missed one, then the year after.
And he won a Bundesliga as well.
Because he won it when he was in Germany, and because it's like that weird era of football where if you're a United fan, the 60s were big, and if you're not a United fan, then nothing really happened till the Premier League. But like, because it was in the 70s, it kind of gets overlooked. Kevin Keegan's won more Ballon d'Ors than any other British player. Kevin fucking Keegan! Because he's mostly remembered for they've got to go to Forest and get something there or whatever. just losing his tits. Go to Middlesbrough. Because he's mostly known for just cracking up. People forget that. But he's got to be in the conversation. He's the only British player to win 2 Ballon d'Ors. Like, that is amazing, isn't it? Yeah. And no one talks about him being like one of the best British players or best players ever. Not many footballers ever have won 2 Ballon d'Ors, let alone an English one. And no one talks about him.
In known fact, Paul Scholes scored an hat-trick at Wembley when Keegan was in charge. And Paul Scholes equaled Kevin Keegan's record to score 3 at Wembley in an international.
There you go. Well, there's a bit of facts. Moving on to this. Andy, give us your Wally of the week. Or moving on from this, I should say.
I will go for the Premier League at such short notice. They've thrown Crystal Palace in between a Manchester derby.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And a trip to the Emirates. And the circumstances, and they've apologised. Short notice, we apologise to the fans. You don't apologise. You don't care about the fans. It's all about money. And I screw the Premier League. And it's another game. They're all coming thick and fast now. But that's what you got to do if you want to be successful.
Some of the, do you know what? I'm going to use broad stuff. Some of the just stupidness we've seen, and I'm not one to start throwing shade at other fans, and I go, match going fans and stuff. We've seen some pretty distasteful things going on over the last few days in chanting and stuff. We saw it was footage I shared, I think, with some of the Munich airplane signs at Old Trafford. We've heard other chants that we don't want to wear. We've heard other chants at other grounds that we don't need to wear. You know, I think there's always a way of throwing or insulting or having a dig at other teams, players, fans, whatever, without crossing lines that we don't need to cross with certain just things that deserve to be on the scrap heap. So I'm just going to say, let's just pat line. Go on.
My Wally of the Week is VAR. That absolute disgrace, Wolves versus Liverpool the other night.
Fucking
where joke. A goal gets disallowed because they don't know if someone was offside or not.
They haven't got the camera angle because none of them was working in
the
field.
What is that? How is that possible?
You know what?
Everyone didn't see it. Yeah. It's 2-2, Liverpool-Wolves. Wolves are the better team. Liverpool have been shit for the whole second half. And it's the 82nd minute, and Wolves score a goal, which from every camera angle that is available and the people on the pitch deem it to be a goal. It looks like a goal. There's no reason to think it's not a goal. Then it goes to VAR, and because there's no camera, as far as I'm aware, I haven't seen any update to this. This is the official ruling was there was no TV camera that showed the whether someone was offside or not. So it's disallowed. What is that? First of all, why have we got this technology if it's not foolproof? Why is it only in the Premier League grounds for the FA Cup? Because that's giving certain teams an advantage or a sort of a fairness that other teams aren't granted anyway, which is already shit. And then all of a sudden, we can't really see it anymore. We're at Anfield. Was it Anfield or was it at Molineux? It was Anfield, wasn't it? We're at Anfield. How is there not a camera on every fucking inch of the pitch where we can see if someone's offside or not? I want Liverpool to lose. And I don't want some camera not being switched on to be an excuse for that.
Look on Saturday, Sheffield Wednesday, their first goal. It was offside. And where's the camera? There's no VAR. You can easily put a monitor near the pitch.
Or don't have it for any of them for the FA Cup. How is it
it's
fair
a waste of time.
That Newcastle versus Sheffield Wednesday, if it's the first, when they play each other at Hillsborough, is no VAR. If there's a replay, there's VAR.
Look at fucking Middlesbrough last season.
Ridiculous.
And Ball. The system's a waste of fucking time. If you're not going to do it right, don't do it at all.
And also, people say, if that's United, you'd be happy that the goal was this lad. Yes, of course I would. I don't like Liverpool. I don't want them to win. And I'm happy to be blindly hypocritical when it comes to Man United.
I second that notion, my friend.
Thank you very much.
It's the Duck says, if it's a Chelsea scattergun, still working, I see. Do you know what I love about VAR is when you're at the ground and you'll hear people chanting like, fuck VAR and all that. And then when it's a VAR decision that goes our way, everyone will start cheering and everything.
Love it. That's what fans
yeah, yeah, an equaliser. In so real time, like, then you're like, you're applauding it. Blah, blah, blah.
That's what fandom's all about.
Yeah, of course it is. Yeah.
Shithousery. That's what it is.
Unbridled biasness. I'm all for it. Andy, where can people find you?
Yeah, I'm on Instagram and I'm on TikTok.
The only Andy Tate that matters. Big shout out to the United Agenda as well. They've been in the chat. Owen Thompson, just before we go, says, guys, who do you think the new owners will be? I personally think it'll be Dubai. Not particularly happy, but I just have one of those feelings. Could well be. We'll have to wait and see. I mean, this is going to rumble on. But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if it was a sovereign state. Joe, where can people find you?
Joe Smith 93 on social media or on the Sloppy Joe's podcast.
Sloppy Joe's podcast. You can also find Joe on the preview for the Charlton game tomorrow and... He's getting the hours in, the boy. He's going to be on the watch along for that as well.
Big
make sure you are hitting like, share, and subscribe to the channel. There's a link in the chat to the channel. So let's get 700,000 subscribers. That's been Andy Tate. That's been Joe Smith. I've been Jay Motte. This has been the Paddock Podcast. Thanks for watching.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.